The title of my article is Major Events Means Major Changes in Forming K-12 Educational Responses to COVID-19 Pandemics. Traditionally, major historical events have caused American K-12 school systems to alter current practices in order to evolve and meet student needs. Similarly, global pandemic caused by COVID-19 demands an alteration of the operations of K-12 school systems. In order to address these needed changes, the paper will explore not only K-12 responses to events such as post-World War II, the Cold War and Civil Rights era, and Hurricane Katrina, but current issues surrounding education during the unprecedented pandemic. Educators must have the tools and resources to adapt and to provide equity and educational opportunities for every student, regardless of socioeconomic status, cultural, racial background, or gender identity. Historically, schools have faced many challenges and implemented many changes to daily practices. Some positive changes, such as integration, were needed and implemented with the goal of bringing equality to all students. Other changes were implemented out of the necessity due to natural or man-made disasters or even public health crises. Currently, educators at all levels are transforming learning environments due to disruptions of the 2020 global COVID-19 pandemic is causing. Several immediate issues of concern for K-12 administrators are centered in technological gaps not only in educational systems but also in community settings the pandemic has exposed. For example, when schools moved to virtual instruction in the start of March of 2020, even some schools were able to provide technology for the students to complete work remotely, some students still did not live in areas where appropriate internet access was available. Further, due to limited training, traditional face-to-face teachers, largely not adept in teaching virtually, were now asked to teach online. In order to meet these demands, administrators face the challenges of creating a plan to respond to these issues, ensuring all students receive a high-quality education, whether learning virtually or in person. In addition, administrators need to ensure schools continue to address not only academic needs of students, but also social, emotional, physical health of all students. In short, in order to successfully educate all K-12 students, school districts must ensure virtual learning plans, and they still need to encompass all these areas. However, many administrators have struggled to implement policy and plans addressing all these issues. Although the COVID-19 pandemic is unprecedented, historically American schools have seen disruptions to the educational status quo. For example, post-World War II, America began its track by desegregating the public school system with the goal of increasing educational opportunities for both black and white students. As part of this process, President Harry Truman created the U.S. President's Committee on Civil Rights in 1947, and the National Association for Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, announced the news of its committee to Congress. In the American Civil Rights era emerged, the NAACP and other civil rights activists began to fight for equal education advantages for black students. The important work of these dedicated individuals brought needed historic changes to the American public school system. For example, the groundbreaking U.S. Civil Rights Act of 1964 afforded federal officials and politicians the opportunities to bring about desegregation of American schools. In addition, notable Supreme Court cases such as Plessy v. Ferguson in 1896, Brown v. the Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas, called for equal treatment for public schools students and enforced the idea that state-sanctioned segregation in public schools violated the 14th Amendment. In addition to new laws, there were recognition that school districts needed tools beyond legislation to appropriately respond to new laws. Orfield explained, in the midst of enforcing changes to race relations, there was recognition that it was hard, that people would need to be retrained and institutions needed help. The government must play a role in these efforts. As a result of this understanding, President Johnson's administration went to enact many education-friendly laws. Additionally, the 1964 Civil Rights Act provided technical assistance for school districts. These laws also created opportunities for low-income students by establishing scholarships and work-study opportunities for poor students. The federal government created a Head Start, which funded preschool programs and expanded affordable housing on a large scale. Inclusion of all these resources was vital for administrators striving to create equitable environments for all students. In 1991, federal entities decided one way to increase academic achievement was to offer alternatives that emphasize a free market approach to schooling. Proponents for this federal legislation stated that legislation's intended to promote equity among students in public education. With this legislation came a great deal of money intended to offer public alternatives to traditional K-12 programs. As of 1999, the U.S. Congress dedicated $100 million to the creation of charter schools as an alternative for parents unhappy with local public school systems. In addition, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1994 saw Congress implement multi-million-dollar appropriations for the creation of charter schools. Proponents maintain as a result of these and other federal programs, local school districts created and implemented diverse curricula, increased staff training, and created magnet schools in efforts to increase and make desegregation more successful. However, critics noted charter schools have resulted in a more student segregation setbacks in the efforts of Brown versus the Board of Education. Public school administrators need to have an understanding of the long-reaching effects of charter schools in their communities. In fact, superintendents and principals are unwilling to recognize the effects of charter schools in the areas have been replaced with individuals with a grasp on how to respond to charter school effects. Administrators had to adapt to changes charter schools sought to bring to their own schools. One such change was the loss of funding due to students leaving traditional schools for charter schools. Such losses lead to cutbacks in teaching staff and administrative personnel. However, administrators combated this issue by showing parents their public schools were performing higher through marketing campaigns, highlighting areas ranging from teachers, training initiatives, advancements in curricula, and after-school programs. More recently, the bipartisan federal education mandate from President George W. Bush and championed by Ted Kennedy, the No Child Left Behind Act, was implemented during the administration of President Bush. Because the law mandated end-of-course assessment, state-mandated tests, many educators and parents considered the No Child Left Behind stipulations controversial due to what many perceived as ranking school achievement according to students' arbitrary test scores or standardized tests. Additionally, the law penalized schools if students didn't receive these benchmarks scores and therefore the schools did not show improvement. As a result of the implementation of No Child Left Behind, there have been changes in public schools. Schools were allotting more time to spending on reading and math at the expense of other subjects. According to Jennings and others, social studies classes were the most affected classes, while physical education was affected the least. Therefore, administrators began to constructing academic plans using data and to guide and modify instructions. Schools also began to rely more on education research to improve the quality of teacher professional development and improve academic interventions for low-performing students. Additionally, and most obvious to parents and community, were that students were taking more tests under the No Child Left Behind Act. Schools and districts had to either increase the workload for current employees or create new positions, such as testing coordinators, to meet the demand of new federal regulations. In addition, the more testing, school administrators began closely monitoring subgroups of underperforming students, especially students from low-income and ethnic or racial minority student subgroups. In 2015, No Child Left Behind was replaced by Every Student Succeeds Act, the ESSA, which provides state education agencies the autonomy in how to hold public school students accountable. Each state can create its own education standards and create and implement support plans to assist struggling schools. The legislation states, however, allow states to create curriculum that can better meet the needs of each student's diverse population. The legislation can provide opportunities for parents who have a choice in the decision-making of their child's education. The decision opportunities can greatly benefit students who receive special education services, such as students who have IEPs or 504s. Issues such as school violence, natural and public health disasters, and lack of internet access for all students plague American schools on a daily basis. Administrators have to formulate plans ensuring student safety, school crises plans, and interventions to the aforementioned problems. Disasters determine how students respond to the ever-changing landscape in K-12 education. Gun violence has become prevalent in K-12 schools in recent decades, and schools struggle to implement various implementations to try to combat the issue. Kobe 2020 describes gun violence as occurring among students, staff, and other public or private on the way to and from school and during and on the way to and from school-sponsored events. Each year, less than 2% of youth homicides occur at K-12 schools, and the majority of these homicides are caused by guns. Gun violence can create severe emotional, physical effects on students as well as the community. The effects can range from suffering of both short and long-term psychological episodes such as grief, anxiety, depression, PTSD. Additionally, Kobe states that gun violence can have other effects on school climate and students and teachers in the school. Among these effects are decreased student scores on standardized tests. The standardized tests result typically play a huge factor in school accountability. Declines in scores can severely affect school accountability ratings. Additionally, exposure to gun violence can cause a decrease in classroom academic grades as well as increase in destructive or disorderly student behavior. These types of behaviors, decreasing academic scores, can have long-lasting negative effects on students, which can lead to an increase in student dropout rate as well as retention rates. Exposure to gun violence drastically negatively affects teachers and other school staff. According to Kobe, teachers can suffer from various issues such as prolonged illness, professional burnout, and their career change in addition to divorce. These students can produce additional costs for schools and districts in the form of increased insurance premiums, purchase of training and safety equipment, and technological services. To combat or prevent gun violence, many schools and districts expand vast resources to implement interventions and hope to prevent or reduce the likelihood of gun violence and increase incidences occurring on or near their campus. The federal government has issued guidelines and programs in an attempt to combat gun violence, but also other health crises and emergencies such as natural disasters, disease outbreaks such as COVID-19, and other public health safety issues. Federal guidelines such as Guide for Developing High-Quality School Emergency Operations from the CDC, Whole School, Whole Community, and Whole Child have been issued to K-12 schools in efforts to quell gun violence and prepare as well as possible for any impending disasters. In addition to the previously mentioned guidelines issued by federal entities, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Department of Education, and U.S. Secret Service have partnered to create a threat assessment model which hopes to impede or target school violence. The program attempts to identify students at risk for violent behavior and implement a series of interventions to lower or eliminate or manage the risk of gun violence. Schools should have guidelines and contingent plans in place to address impending issues of gun violence. Each school district, in coordination with local law enforcement, medical, and other emergency management agencies, should have created a crisis management plan that created contingent plans for addressing not only gun violence, but also any other conceivable disaster or emergency. School administrators and other personnel should have uniform safety procedures in place ready to implement at a moment's notice in the event of emergencies. School staff and students should implement regular emergency practice drills as well as have maps, drill procedures, and other relevant information readily available to anyone who comes to school campus. As a result of the terror attacks of September 11, 2001, schools have made changes in their crisis management plans to include procedures, policies, and drills to anticipate the next domestic terror event. School counselors, nurses, administrators, teachers, and other staff members are expected to meet students' physical, mental, and academic needs in the event of another attack. According to Auger and others, school counselors, administrators, and teachers were thrust into the position of responding to traumatic situations of previous unimaginable proportions after the 9/11 attacks. Even though the actual terrorist events were confined to the states of New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C., the effects reverberate not only nationally but worldwide. In addition, these students who were personally involved in the attacks, countless millions watched the attacks live via TV. Many school-age students were traumatized by the chaos taking place in their television screens. School officials were not prepared for the long-lasting effects caused by the viewing of these horrific events. Even adults found it difficult to initially comprehend the gravity of the situation. Additionally, Auger and others says school-aged children found the events of 9/11 even more difficult to discern due to their lack of development of both their cognitive and verbal skills. Much like exposure to gun violence and other traumatic events, students who witnessed the 9/11 attacks suffered from bouts of depression, anxiety, and other dissociative properties. School officials were met the daunting task of meeting the psychological, physical, and academic needs of their students under their care. School administrators implemented policies and procedures allowing school counselors to actively seek out students, teachers, and other staff members in need of counseling or mental health services after a traumatic event has occurred, such as 9/11 attacks, school shootings, or other natural or public health crises. School counselors, administrators, and teachers began to receive training in identifying signs of personal distress, anguish, and anxiety, as well as repeatedly visiting and observing students in their classroom, hallways, cafeterias during recess time. K-12 schools are established not only to serve the academic needs of students, but also their physical, mental, and other societal needs. To meet these needs, both schools and school districts and other government agencies had to reorganize their responses to certain situations, especially the introduction of unprecedented situations such as 9/11 attacks and most recently the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic not only affected school response efforts regionally, such as Katrina, but affected responses globally. As a result of Hurricane Katrina, many students were displaced in their homes, resulting in long-term absences. These long-term absences made covering course materials and providing student tutoring and opportunities difficult for teachers. School responses included condensing content for displaced students, assigning them local buddies to help students adjust to new environments, and making certain teachers were sensitive to all social, emotional, and academic needs of students. Additionally, some schools issued displaced students clothing, backpack, and school supplies. Virtual classes have been a part of secondary school for years. Virtual classes have been synonymous with college education for a number of years. As a result of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, K-12 virtual learning opportunities have grown exponentially and rather unexpectedly. The school districts and administrators are struggling to meet both the academic and mental health needs of their students and staff. Virtual platforms have become commonplace in schools and districts that have financial personnel and resources to purchase them. The introduction of virtual classes, some come challenges to the students, teachers, and parents who choose this option for their families. According to Topin and others, parents who choose virtual learning as an option in the midst of increased social concerns such as bullying, peer pressure, safety issues, such as global pandemic of such as COVID-19. As previously stated, some school districts may either have neither the financial nor the personnel resources needed to implement virtual learning. In these cases, school districts and other districts may distribute paper packets to students, creating additional problems of how students will receive and return them. Schools and districts, especially in the rural settings, are capable of purchasing learning platforms on their own, may have issues of lack of internet access for students. In many cases, schools in more rural areas may not be able to provide students with the devices to conduct their virtual classes. Because technology is a key component in the success of any internet-based virtual program. As a result of COVID-19, federal government has implemented programs that are intended to help schools, providing with resources to equip students with laptops so that they can access the virtual platforms. It's a good idea in theory, but as of this writing, many school districts have not received these devices. Additionally, the results of COVID-19 pandemic, teachers in some districts have suddenly been thrust into virtual classes as well as face-to-face classes. This situation creates a plethora of problems for students and teachers and parents. Teachers have been propelled to teaching virtual classes with little or no training, teaching and planning for teaching face-to-face classes, while simultaneously having to plan and teach virtual classes has placed unneeded burdens on classroom teachers as well as students. Teachers are already devoting much of their personal time and resources to their students prior to COVID-19 and the introduction of virtual platforms. Some school districts have attempted to alleviate an overbearing stress of teachers by serving both face-to-face and or virtual, but scheduling teachers to teach one or the other. However, some school districts have chosen to simultaneously allow teachers to serve both virtual and face-to-face. Virtual teaching, if performed correctly, to say the least, is challenging. Engaging virtual students in the same fashion as face-to-face is quite demanding. Limited student-teacher interaction as well as results of virtual learning can create barriers for students and teachers. Students who have IEPs or 504s may be an academic disadvantage. Some students and parents may prefer virtual learning to face-to-face options. Virtual students may not necessarily have the time constraints as the face-to-face classes have. Students who have the appropriate personal equipment and internet services may have access to material any time of the day. Virtual platforms may serve families with more dynamic schedules. Additionally, virtual options may be needed for at-risk students or failing students, which may promote a decreased failure rate or increased graduation rates. Not only has COVID-19 affected school classrooms, but also athletics and extracurricular activities. In most school districts, sports and other extracurricular activities were either postponed or canceled for the unforeseeable future. Even if districts have chosen to continue sports, coaches, students have to modify their practice schedules to allow students time to socially distance. Students may not be able to practice or hone their skills as much as in previous school years due to COVID-19. The opportunity for parents to attend students' events were greatly altered. Per state and high school regulations, mask mandates were also required. K-12 schools have seen major changes in educational practices over the past seven decades. Some changes were implemented in an effort to promote equitable education opportunities for all students. Other changes in K-12 will result in unprecedented disasters. Regardless of the reason for changes in K-12 practices, administrators and teachers have met the challenges, made strides in improving K-12 education. All the ways educators have many more challenges ahead of us. We're capable of overcoming these challenges and providing the best possible outcomes for our students. Thank you.